And good afternoon. Welcome in to Meet Me at the Diner on 1350 WLMA and WLMA.net. Host Ann Eller live at SFG, and today our guest, the Sheriff of Greenwood County, Tony Davis.
Oh, that's right. We have the Sheriff here, Sheriff Tony Davis is here. How are you doing today, Tony?
Very well, Ann. How are you?
It's good to have you here today to sit down. You know, the last time we talked, you were running for office.
I was a candidate.
You were a candidate, and now you're the sheriff. And boy, I just wonder, how has it been to become the sheriff of Greenwood County?
Overwhelming. I can tell you, it's a whole lot different than being an officer. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was also with the Greenwood County Sheriff's Department for 30 years, where my last duties there was I was a major in charge of investigations. But then I ran for sheriff, and I got elected, and it's overwhelming. It's a lot of responsibility, and I take it very seriously.
I have heard that you do, and that you are very committed to making this a success. In fact, I've heard a lot of good things out there in the community with some of the changes and things that you've been working on, Tony.
Well, you know, I believe in service, and I believe in serving the community that we work for. You know, I don't want myself nor my officers to ever forget that we work for the people of Greenwood County, and that's who we serve, and that's who we're accountable to, and that's who we're doing the job for.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that I think that you've started doing is having your officers out in different neighborhoods, canvassing, but getting to know them.
We're doing that. As a matter of fact, I have my investigative unit and my command staff one day this week, I think possibly Friday morning. We're going out into another neighborhood. What we're doing is introducing ourselves. We're telling them why we're there.
Scaring the crap out of them, probably, Tony.
we're going with our hat in our hand on these cases to let the people know that we're there for them. And please, if you need us, don't hesitate to call us. It's more of a one-on-one conversation. It's a chance for the people in the community to meet the officers that serve them.
That's right. So this has been good. You've also started working with the Greenwood Police Department, something which hasn't happened in a long time, but seems like a logical thing to happen.
Well, anytime you're in law enforcement, you know, there's no walls that separate Greenwood City from Greenwood County, and there's no walls that separate Greenwood County from surrounding counties. So we have to work together. We have to share information. We have to cooperate, communicate, and, you know, by doing that, it helps serve the community a lot better.
That's right. So how is it working? Good communication back and forth now?
The chief and I, Chief Brooks and I, Chief Brooks worked at the Sheriff's Department back in the 70s when I started. And
So y'all used to work together?
Yeah, we worked together, and actually he and I were partners for a period of time.
Oh, come on, for real?
And we have kept our friendship and our communication open over the years, and when I ran for sheriff, that was one of the things that I ran on, that I would break down the barriers that prevented communication, and we've done that. We communicate regularly. Our investigators work together. Our narcotics people work together. We share information.
Should make for better handling of crime.
It does. The chief and I will have lunch once every week or so, and you know, we'll discuss issues. Right now we're doing some joint training on our SWAT teams. So things are working well.
That's good. Well, how about things like, I understand you have a new gal on your staff who interprets Spanish.
We do. We had a problem with that because, to my knowledge, no one in the Sheriff's Department could speak the language. So we brought on a young lady that can translate for us, and the very first day on, first or second day on the job, we made a drug arrest, and through her translation, we were able to seize about $4,000 from the drug dealer.
That you wouldn't have been able to do.
Wouldn't have,
or
because
not
could,
as easy because
we couldn't communicate. Now, we also changed all the forms that we have in the back. We now took those forms and translated them into Spanish, so that we can better communicate with the Spanish population that comes into the jail.
Well, So I understand that's been a real boon to what's going on. And particularly, I would think there's other things, though, that the sheriff handles besides just crime.
Community relations.
Yes.
And we're trying to, we're trying to improve on that. Captain Sonny Cox is over my community services division, and he currently has three guys working with him, but we also have another one that's going through the field training program. So whenever they do crime prevention, crime awareness, we go out into communities, and if we have communities having certain problems, we send those units out there to attack that problem or to work with that problem, and that frees my people up on my deputies on the road. It frees them up to answer the calls for assistance in the county.
That's right. Now, how about just as far as staffing? Do you have enough staff to work with at the Greenwood Sheriff's Office?
You know, you could always use more personnel, but, when I took office, I had an opportunity to sit down and interview or talk with each officer. And one of the things I told them was, in this economic times that we're in right now, we've got to do a whole lot more with a whole lot less.
I think businesses are learning how to deal with this.
Well, I hope it sinks in law enforcement because, we're going to do the best we can with what we got.
That's right. And of course, you've got a big area to cover, too, don't we?
I think it's approximately 468 square miles in Greenwood County, and 7 miles of that, I believe, is waterways. But, yeah, we do, and we have a population that swells to in excess of 70,000, right closer to 80,000 during the day. And my department, we divided the county up into six zones that we patrol, we take care of. And so with that, yeah, we have a large area. Sometimes with the volume of calls that we're getting, sometimes it takes just a little while longer to respond or get to a call, especially if it's in one zone and that officer's tied up, we have to send another one. So sometimes it takes a little while, but again, we get there as quickly and as safely as possible.
Do we have enough coverage? Do we have enough coverage, Tony? Are you able to cover the county?
If naturally we have officers take vacation, and oftentimes somebody will be sick, and when that's so, I have seven officers per shift, and if one's off on vacation and if one is sick, that does cut us down numbers wise. But and when we do that, Captain Cox in community services tries to get one of his people's or does get
to
one
double.
Of his people to
yeah.
fill in. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess the answer to that is yes, we have enough coverage.
Well, again, we do the best
more.
We can with what we have. It would be nice to have more, but, I don't see that coming anytime soon, especially in the crisis that we're in.
That's right. All right. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We're here with Sheriff Tony Davis. And if you'd like to make a call to us, give us a call, 229-6613. If you'd like to ask Tony a question or something you'd like to know, hey, give us a call, 229-6613. He's going to be here with me the whole hour. Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Our special guest, our Sheriff of Greenwood County, Tony Davis. Back to you.
Oh, that's right. We're here talking with Tony. And, one of the big things, Tony, I'm just going to bring it up. What's happened to the boat? The boat that we had patrolling all last year. I mean, is it in the water?
Nope. It's out at the county shop. I think that it's my opinion that DNR is responsible for the lake. And I think that I can use my manpower and my resources on dry land answering the calls for requests that people called in for. I don't think there's a residence in Greenwood County that I can't get to from the roadways.
So you're not going to be using the boat?
I'm not sending officers out there to chase jet skis up and down the road, up and down the lakes. We have, in my opinion, we have more important issues on land than we do on the water.
Well, God, some of the guys were getting nice tans out there on the boat now, Tony.
I'm not going to pay officers to get out on the boat and get tans, and I'm also not going to I'm going to pay officers for doing a job, and that's not riding in a boat in a bathing suit or whatever with sunglasses on and sunscreen. We have more important things to do.
I know you do. I just had to bring that up because the boat was, you know, it was a big thing. Yeah, it was an issue. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So any particular types of crimes that we're seeing, or is there any rise in any type of crimes? For example, shoplifting or, I don't know, drugs? Are we seeing any issues basically maybe because of the economy?
You know, right now, we haven't noticed anything different. We're keeping a watch on that. Everything seems to be... you know, pretty consistent in a sense. Your domestic violences are about the same. Your shopliftings are about the same. The drug trade is about the same. And, you know, I can attack basically what goes on behind closed doors on domestic violence. I wish there was a way we could decrease that. But, you know, when husbands and wives or men and women can't get along, they have a tendency to fuss and argue. And it oftentimes call 911 and we have to respond. But shoplifting is pretty much staying about the same. As I said, the drug trade, drugs have been around a long time. I wish we could eradicate it all, but we're going to attack that problem the best we can, too.
Are there any, you know, one of the things that a year or so they were talking about gangs coming into our area. Is that something that we should be concerned about?
I think it's something that we should all be concerned about, but I have asked my school resource officers to please keep a watch on this. Let us know if they're detecting any type of gang activity in the schools. Occasionally we'll get some graffiti here and there, but we have not seen anything organized as far as gangs go.
Or nothing coming like from Greenville or from that side coming towards Greenwood?
That's nothing that we have seen. like I said, I'd never turn a blind eye to it, but we have not noticed any trends, any gang trends, more so now than you know, at any other time.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, let's see. We just had a call from Jane Waring and her husband, Ed. They live out in Waterloo. She says she likes you because you're polite and patient. She likes the fact that the arrests are not sensationalized. And she said she would like to fix some cookies for Sonny. Hey. Sonny Cox.
I don't think Sonny needs many cookies. Are you listening, Sonny?
Well, you know, we had that big picture on the front page there of Sonny and Bill there with cookies, you know.
Yeah.
That just shows the true definition, right?
It does. It's just, you know, just think if it was donuts.
Yeah, that's right. But anyways, I think that's one of the nice things. We haven't had sensationalized, even when you had one of your own sheriff officers, Scott Masterson, that case there, that's been, I know, very very hard for you.
It was a huge disappointment, but I don't believe in sensationalism. You know, I think if a case is going to be tried, all the facts need to be gathered, and the case needs to be tried in court and not in the media. But as far as the case with Masterson, I brought that when I found out about it. I called SLED in to assist us in the investigation for several reasons. Number one, it was an officer involved. Number two, although he worked for Greenwood, he lived just inside Abbeville County. And number three, once it hit the media, then SLED has a public information officer that handles all the press releases. So I thought it's best to handle this in a court of law instead of in the newspapers or the media.
That's right. Well, anyways, I know that one was tough. And so, but you deal with these things and you keep moving things forward. That's what I think is good. Now, how about reorganizing in the sheriff's office? I mean, I know you've changed people around. You've made some changes. John Nichols, you moved him from one office, and now he's, what, over 911?
He's over the 911 system, along with the other duties that he had. John is working on security at the courthouse. He also doing some security work at the schools, and he also does some grants for the county or for the sheriff's department. And so I moved John over into the 911 system and still kept his other duties with him. John has some experience in that. He's a fine young man that spent approximately 20 years or so in the Air Force, gathered a lot of experience there and brought that experience with him here to us at the Sheriff's Department. So his plate's pretty full now.
His plate's full. Are you saying he had an easier job and you filled it up?
Well, you know, he had some... he had a partial plate, but now it's full.
Yeah. Now it's full. Have you done that with some others, changed up things, the way the organization and everything within the sheriff's office?
I did. I had Captain Mark Cromer, who I put over administrative services. I was sitting there when I told Mark what his position was going to be, and I was writing it all down on a piece of paper. And I said, and after this, I said, and anything else that comes along, I may assign that to you also. And he took the paper and turned it sideways and said, no, there's no more room on here. So, his plate's full. I moved William Kenny, who was a captain, on one of the shifts. I moved him over to Major over Uniform Patrol. Mm-hmm. I mean, brings years of experience from the road to the position that he has. I moved Major Lonnie Smith from Uniform Patrol, over Uniform Patrol, to Chief of Operations. That's working out, seems to be working out well. Major Philip Anderson is in charge of the detention center, along with Captain Sherry Middleton back there as his assistant. And Major John Murray is over investigations. And a lady that helped me in my campaign, Sandy Owens, is pretty much the administrator there at the Sheriff's Department. She works closely with me, and she's real good in the work that she does in personnel and budgeting and all the other things that go along in that role. Her plate is full.
Her plate is full.
Very.
Well, it sounds like everybody's plate is full. And, you know, one of the things is that since you do have to go so far, how do you handle, you know, people calling in complaints like somebody down in Troy, or, you know, whether it's traffic or speeding, or, you know, so many of the neighborhoods have problems with speeding and this type of thing, vandalism?
Well, I assign a lot of that. Captain Cox, who is over community services, handles a lot of that, where we have neighborhoods that call in and driving, complaining about, you know, speeding in their neighborhoods. So in the community services, we'll send an officer, one of his officers, out to work in that zone or work in that area until hopefully we can, you know, solve the problems. And that way it keeps me from tying up my road personnel, my deputies on the road that, you know, are responding to the calls or needs of assistance. So we do that, and a lot of times I just bought, I don't know what the exact name of this thing is, but you'll see it flashing on the side of the road when you're going 35 in a 25 zone. You know, you'll see it flashing, yeah, telling what the speed is. I call it a traffic trailer with a radar in it. But we just ordered another one of those that'll be in probably 3 weeks or so, and now we'll have two we can put in different areas, because we got a list of requests. For that piece of equipment. So we've ordered another one, and we're buying that with seized drug funds. And
it's not really costing the taxpayers.
No, it's costing the drug dealers.
It's costing the drug dealers. Wait a minute. How do you get? Okay, now what happens? Okay, here's a question. What happens to the drugs? Now, I guess when you sell cars and stuff like that they had, right? But what happens to the drugs?
The drugs, whenever we do a search and we seize drugs, if it's marijuana, we can analyze that ourselves. We have a couple of guys who certified through the state to analyze marijuana, so we don't have to transport that to SLID.
Professional marijuaners.
Along with the other dealers, yes. But your hard drugs, like your marijuana, your cocaine, your crack, your methamphetamine, we take that to SLID, and they keep it there, and they will destroy it for us at once we give a destruction order, once the case is disposed of. Your pills, mm-hmm. You can look at a pill and you can say, well, yes, this is a value, but can you really say what's inside that pill? So we have to send it off and have it analyzed also. Again, same procedure, they'll destroy it for us.
Okay.
Or if not, then we'll have to go down and pick it up, and we'll have to destroy it. I'll have to burn it. But we always make sure that there's several witnesses available to make
several
sure that
witnesses.
What's there is burned and, you know, doesn't get out anywhere.
Okay, I guess you've got it in a tight frame where you,
yes.
Yeah, crucible
yes.
type thing. Where
yes.
It's, yes, okay. All right, well, anyways, I just thought I'd better check that out and know how that was handled. But so you're saying the funds actually come when you dispose of jewelry?
Well, the funds come, a lot of you drug dealers, when we take drugs, we'll seize assets. At sometimes it's a vehicle, sometimes it can be a house, but a lot of times it's money, and we'll seize those assets and trying to take the profit from mm-hmm. the drugs. And after a case is disposed of in court, we'll have a hearing, and the judge, see if the judge will award us that money, award the department that money, or if it goes back to the drug dealer. But there's certain rules. You know, you can't spend this money just for anything. We have to give the first $1,000 of any seizure can come to the seizing agency. Then anything over $1,000, let me see if my figures are correct. 5% of that goes to the state.
They have exact ways on how this
right,
money is divided up.
Right, and how it's spent. I think 20% goes to the prosecutor's office and 80% comes back to the seizing agency. If that's not the exact figures, it's pretty close.
Something along that line. Okay, so anyways, you bought a traffic buddy.
Yeah,
there you go,
buddy,
a traffic
yeah.
buddy. How do you like that one for a term?
Well, that's a good one. It sounds as good as what I had in mind.
All right, so anyways, these are the things that you're doing, and you're doing it without costing taxpayers money. That's a good thing. You know, we're going to hear South Carolina news when we come back. We're still going to have our Sheriff Tony Davis here with us, so keep it right here on WLMA 1350 AM, and if you'd like to give us a call, you have a comment or something you'd like to ask Tony, just give us a call, 229-6613.
Me at the diner, lunchtime on WLMA.net, 1350 AM. Ann Eller, our host, and Tony Davis, our guest, Sheriff of Greenwood County, back to you.
That's right. We are back here. Tony is with us. We just had a nice call, Tony. David Weimer just called in. He said a deputy stopped and helped his mother, who is 74, with a flat tire about a month ago. It was 11 o'clock at night on Deadfall Road, and his mom said that she was courteous, calming, and charmed her, moved here from Wayne County, Michigan, where she said this would not have happened because they aren't allowed to give assistance there. What do you think, Tony?
Thankfully, I guess we're from the South, where we're more people friendly. I don't know how, as a law enforcement officer, I don't know how you're not allowed to help someone or give assistance. That's part of your job is giving assistance. I appreciate her comments there, and I wish that I knew the deputy's name so I could go thank him personally for doing so. But, you know, I expect all my officers to do the same thing. If they see one of our citizens in need or need of help or whatever, that they would stop and assist. And if they don't stop and assist, I'd sure like to know about it.
Well, I think that's terrific. And that's you know, if you want to be user-friendly.
That's right. You got to be people-friendly, user-friendly. You know, again, it all boils down to you work for the people. They pay your salary, and that's who you have to be accountable to. That's who you have to answer to. That's who you have to help. You know, when people call 911, and I've said this many times, they're not calling you out, inviting you out for cake and coffee. They're calling because they have some type of problem. Go out there, respond to that call, try to help the people the best you can, leave them, show them a little compassion, show them that you care, offer them the help that they need, do all you can for them before you leave, and then once you left, and you know you've done all you can, you know, you're doing your job, you're doing what I expect of you.
That's right. So that's a good thing. It sounds like I said before, you're using a lot of common sense in this job. And, you know, we need more common sense in this world. I do believe we've gotten a little off whack here. But common sense is something that sometimes is in short supply. Now, you were over in Iraq for a good while. Are you glad to be here? Iraq here?
You know, it's always nice always much better to be at home. And, you know, when we get up every morning, we should thank the good Lord above that we live in a country such as the United States, with all the freedoms and everything that we have, that we don't live in a war zone. Our kids don't have to walk to school and have IEDs or snipers or terrorists to threaten them. Our families don't have that. Yes, it's much nicer to be at home. It's a whole lot safer. But at the same time, I think that what we're doing in Iraq is a worthy cause. However, I do think that we've almost worn our welcome out over there. Those folks, those people over there are ready for us to get out of their country and for them to take over their own security. Are they capable of taking over their security? If they were as dedicated to their cause as our military is and as our police officers are, they could take over their security. I know a lot of them are police officers or soldiers by day and terrorists by night, and I don't know that we'd ever filter that out. But they still have some problems over there. But at the same time, we've pretty much done about all we can do. We've given, and they have taken. But we have trained. We have trained their police. We have trained their military. We have built roads. We have built bridges. We have built schools. We have worked on their infrastructure. We've worked with their government. We've pretty much done everything that we can. And again, I think they're ready for us to get out of their country.
It's time for them to take the reins.
It's time for them to take the reins. Enough American soldiers have died over there.
That's right. That's right. So anyways, what, you know, we've got back. Well, one thing I wanted to ask you before I go there is you made a campaign promise that if you got this job, that you would be turning your salary over to the rural fire departments.
I did.
Are you doing that?
So far, I've been in office 4 months. My first month's salary went to Lower Lake Greenwood. My second month went to Tri-County Volunteer Fire Department down in Kirksey. My third went to the Callison Fire Department. My fourth went to the Troy Volunteer Fire Department. So I'm trying to look at the departments that are in need the most. I think there's 12. You know, we get paid 12 months out of the year, so each month I give a my check to.
Why did you decide to do that? Why?
Well,
I mean, you're working a lot of hours, I know, and you're putting a lot of time in here. Why are you giving your salary away?
You know, the funding for the volunteer fire departments has not kept up with the times, in a sense. They have a hard time trying to raise money, trying to raise what's necessary to, you know, help the people in their communities. You know, and if my little salary, and when I give it to them, I say, hey, guys, you know, this is not a gold mine by any means, but, you know, I hope that it will help in some aspect of your community down here. You know, I just want all of Greenwood County to know that, you know, you are a part of Greenwood County. I am the sheriff for all of Greenwood County, not just Augusta Fields where I live, but and not just Hodges, we'll say, but all of Greenwood County. And, you know, if my little check that I give them every month will help them better serve their people, then, you know, I don't mind it at all. You know, I'm not completely broke. I'm on the, you know, pretty close, but not completely. I can get by.
You can get by. But anyways, well, you know, I think that's terrific because, you know, if you're going to fight fires and you're going to put your life on the line out here with this type of thing, you need to have good equipment.
You know,
equipment.
Those guys, you know, in those rural areas, you know, if they get a call, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's wind, rain, sleet, or snow. Those guys get up and go, and probably most of them have a job to go to the next day, but they, you know, they get up and they go, and they do the best job that they can. And like I said, it's all volunteer. They get paid nothing. So, you know, I admire them. My hat's off to them, and I appreciate the job that they do.
That's great. Now, you know, we've got this, one of the subjects that was out there before you got elected was a new jail. We needed a new jail. Now, that's an expensive undertaking. How are we dealing with the fact of a jail?
Well, I've gotten with the jail administrator. Major Anderson. He's been in charge of jail now for a little over 4 years. We took a long, hard look, and the first thing that we knew that we needed was a roof.
It's been raining pretty hard here lately.
It has been raining, and honestly, I've got buckets in the hallways back there catching the water. However, we've got the county council, and we are in the process now. Within the next few days, they will be starting on putting a new roof on.
Not going to build a new jail?
Well, what we're looking at is we get inspected by the Department of Corrections, and they came up and they cited us on a number of things. And one of the things that we got cited on was overcrowdedness. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been working with... We have a full-time magistrate down at the jail now, and work with Judge Miller from the city police, and I've asked them if they would, you know, to help me with this problem. If we've got someone that's committed a nonviolent crime, instead of putting them in jail and housing them for several days while it's costing the county taxpayers about $45 a day to house them and feed them, why can't we just go ahead and give them a court date and put them back out on the streets?
This is for nonviolent.
Again, nonviolent.
Right.
Nonviolent only.
Right.
And the judges are working well with me. The family court judges at one time were sentencing some of the family court people of failure to pay child support. They're sentencing them up to a year and giving them no work credit. So they had no incentive to work. So I've asked the family court judges, would they please cooperate with me, give these people some work credits. So they can work in
areas. Get their butts back out on the street
get
working?
Get them back out on the street, yeah. We're using them out at, we'll say, Parks and Recreation. The city uses them. We use them out at the county garage. We use them to help pick up, the debris on the side of the road and stuff. So, you know, we're getting some work from them, and it's saving the county and the city money in the long run.
So we're not as overcrowded.
We're not as overcrowded now, but we are looking at putting a building on the back side of the jail. We're getting some
funding.
Some legwork has been done on that. Some engineers and stuff are looking at it, and getting some costs and so forth. But we're looking at putting a building back there for non-violent personnel only.
All right.
That will relieve the. Stress. The overcrowding in the jail, because we have people that come in that have emotional problems. We've got some come in have AIDS. We have some come in with special needs, and we have to have areas for those individuals. So it's a whole lot more to running a jail than just putting the bad guys in there and leaving them.
That's right. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away. We'll be right back with Sheriff Tony Davis. Give us a call, 229-6613.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
On 1350 WLMA over at SFG.
That's right.
Talking with our sheriff, Tony Davis.
Oh, that's right. We're talking with our sheriff here. We were just talking about the jail, and before we went to hear a word from our sponsors, you were saying they're talking or they are going to be doing something with a new building to house in the back of the jail?
We're looking at putting a building on the back side of the jail. Right on the same grounds to house nonviolent individuals only. And a lot of these will be family court personnel. And by doing that, it frees up a lot of the space that we have in areas that's needed in the jail to house people who are waiting for court. It also frees up areas where in the jail where we have special needs. Like I said, when you got people with AIDS coming in, you got to sort of keep them separated. And we got some people with emotional problems coming in. We've got people.
You can't really go in just the general population.
Right. You can't put them in general population. We've got some very violent people at times come in. So, it's a lot more to running a jail than just taking the bad guys and just putting them in and locking them up. You know, they state mandates, they federal mandates, and we have to abide by all of that.
And how much does it cost a day? What'd you say? How much does it cost?
We figured it averages about $45 a day to house an inmate in our jail.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of taxpayers' money, that's right.
That is. So, and of course, by getting them back out on the street, if they're, you know, nonviolent, or putting people that, like child support, like you were saying, getting them back out and making money so they can pay those bills.
Right.
It's not using it as a debtor's prison, shall we say.
Well, that's true. Like I said, we're getting some work out of the guys and the girls, ladies that are in. Like I said, different agencies in the county use the inmate labor. The city crews use our inmate labor, and you know it not only benefits them, but it also benefits the guy who's out there working, the inmate who's out there working, because he can get out of jail a whole lot sooner and get back to, hopefully he can get a job and pay the child support. But it's where it seems to be working well. Our population back there has been down. We haven't been inspected in the last month, but you know, there's some other issues. I was able to hire a part-time maintenance person, mm-hmm, for the jail to work on a lot of the problems that was back there. So we got a full part-time maintenance man that comes in about 8 in the morning, gets off at 12, and he handles the problems inside the jail there. For example, shower heads. I got to have one shower per 12 inmates. So I've got to make sure the shower heads are working. You know, it's just a number of things we have to deal with back there.
So when they come through to inspect again, you're going to be in better shape.
Hopefully we're in a little better shape. Now, there's some things that, you know, the jail was built there in 1975, but there's just some things that you know, that we can't correct. But, you know, I don't think the Department of Corrections are going to come and shut us down for those little minor infractions that we've got back there. But, you know, we're looking at ways to try to clean that up or repair that also.
That's right. Now, futuristically, Tony, what are you trying to work on futuristically down the road? You know, you've made a lot of good strides in, you said, 4 months, I guess. What things are you working on?
Well, one thing I did was after 3 months, the third month I was in office, I got the command staff together and I said, guys, let's sit down, let's evaluate what we're doing. Let's look at if we're doing something and it's not working, let's change it. If we're doing something that is working, how can we make it better? Let's take a long, hard look at ourselves and see if we're heading in the right direction. So we did that after 3 months, and we made a change or two. Nothing serious, but we made a change or two. And then 6 months to me is going to be the breaking point. We're going to sit down again at my 6 months in office, and we're going to reevaluate. And if we see some changes there that's in order, we're going to make the changes. But futuristically, again, I want to continue working with all the law enforcement agencies in town, have open lines of communication, working together on the crime problem to better serve our citizens. One thing I'm certainly working on is we haven't had vehicles in the last, I think this is the third year. So with this stimulus money, hopefully I can purchase.
Stimulus money, are we getting it?
They tell us we are.
We are.
But, you know, I haven't seen any of it yet.
Yeah, right.
I hope to get about at least 4 vehicles out of this money if it comes through.
Why do you need vehicles?
Well, some of the vehicles I have as many as 180,000 miles on them. And I was told that when I went to the newly elected sheriff school, I was told by the attorneys that was teaching the class that at 125,000 miles, mm-hmm, there's a lot of wear and tear on that car. It pretty much can become a rolling lawsuit at that time. And, you know, I just don't need to deal with lawsuits. I need to get my officers to the calls as quickly and as safely as possible to provide the people the help they need.
So new cars, that would be a new. Now, what about working with Ware Shoals and 96 and everything?
We have lines of communication open with them. I've told my training officers to get with them that if we're going to, we do a training on, we're going to do some firearms training here pretty soon and qualifications, and I've told the training officer to get with them and invite them. I don't know that for sure if they have access to a range. But if not, we're going to make that accessible to them. We're also going to do some defensive driving, pretty soon, and we've even Piedmont Tech has even showed an interest. So we're also going to get with 96 and Ware Shows and even Piedmont Tech and you know, see if they want to send some officers to participate in that.
Oh, okay. So communication, working together, common sense.
Common sense is a big one.
Common sense is a big one. You're absolutely right. In some ways, we've seemed to have lost a lot of our common sense. But you certainly have made some good changes, and people certainly are saying good things on it. Do you ever get tired? I understand. You're there from early in the morning till late at night. That's what I've heard.
You know, I don't get tired of working for the community. I get a lot of positive feedback from the community. And if someone calls me and says, such and such, one of your officers did this, went above and beyond, really gave us the help that we needed, you know, I make it a point to go to that officer, shake his hand, pat him on the back, tell him thank you for a job well done. And I tell him who calls in, and, you know, and what they were saying. When we get complaints from the public concerning officers, and thankfully those have been very, very minimal since I've been in office, we address those problems too. So, you know, we take the good with the bad. But right now things seem to be going well. And, you know, one thing that I told, I sat down and I talked with each officer before I took office, and I let him know that, you know, we work for the people of Greenwood County. They pay our salary. We're going to be accountable, but I want you to know that I want you to treat each and every person like you would want to be treated as long as they will let you. But that, oftentimes, sit back, look at the situation that a person's involved in. You know, put yourself in their shoes just for a minute. What would you do in that situation? Just show some compassion. Let the people know that you care, regardless of what the problem is, and you know, try to help them any way you can.
That's right. Now, what if somebody does have a problem? I mean, Tony, calling, following up, how should people proceed? Or, you know, if somebody wants to talk to you or someone of your officers, how should they proceed?
Well, my door is open. Before I took office, you know, I asked the guys, I said, you know, I said, guys, I've got 30 years experience as a law enforcement officer, but I have absolutely none as sheriff. I said, so I've got to learn as I go. I said, but tell me what you expect from a new incoming sheriff. And a couple of the answers were, open the door. Open the door to the public. Be available. I did. The very first day I opened the door, and it's been open ever since.
Have you ever felt like closing it?
Sometimes. Be more personable. Let us be able to come in and speak with you. It's been no problem. Have a fair promotion system. And I am working on policies and procedures and promotion systems. We've got some policies in place. For example, a pursuit policy. We've just adopted one of those, and you know, we're getting it out so that each and every officer understands what it is. So we're in the process. We're working every day on something, and you know, right now things are going well, and I hope it continues. But you know, we are prepared if we have something go wrong. We're trying to be prepared.
All right. So the people of Greenwood can contact you.
They can contact me.
That's right. All right.
Matter of fact, when you call the sheriff's department, you don't get an automated voice system anymore. You get an individual to talk to, and if you need to, and that individual will transfer you to whatever department you need to go to in there. Mm-hmm. Or if you walk in the front door, someone's going to wait on you. Someone's going to help you.
Well, that's great. Well, gee, you know, this has been a nice conversation to sit down and talk about how it's been going the first 4 months here, and we're going to have to do this again as time goes on.
All right, give me, my 6 month in office will be July the 7th. We'll make it sometime in July.
Maybe sometime in July we can sit down and talk again. You know, I think that would be great. Is there anything else you'd like the people to know while we're sitting here talking on the radio?
Other than, you know, we are your sheriff's department. Call us if you need us. We'll do our best for you.
That's right. So, and of course, 911's under that. But the sheriff's office, what is the number to the sheriff's office, just as far as the sheriff's office?
It's 942-8600.
8600. So, because sometimes you don't have an emergency, but sometimes
right.
it's hard to find a number, you know, quickly to call if you have a question or you want
right.
something answered.
And we have a non-emergency number over at the 911 system that, you know, if you need assistance and it's not an emergency, I think it's 942-8632, I believe it is. Call that number and someone will still respond.
Still respond. All right. Well, Tony Davis, thank you so much for coming on the air and talking to me today about what's going on in Greenwood, how the sheriff's office is doing. Like I said, I've heard positive stuff out here. It's great to have you on the air and be talking about it. Sounds like you're headed in the right direction, Tony Davis.
We're working hard.
We're working hard.
Every
All
day.
Right.
We thank don't you. Close.
We don't close. That's right. All right. Thanks so much, Tony. This is WLMA 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station. Bye-bye, Boogie.